All right, Tavosai, let's begin. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Daf Gimel in Erechin. Daf Gimel in Erechin. Tavosai, also, you know, in the new Masechta, so not only is it a great opportunity, of course, to go ahead and mamish, like, jump back in, it's also a good opportunity to get a handle on Chazara. You know, we all know that one of the greatest challenges with the daf is going at such a fast pace and retaining everything. So it's kedai, you know, to figure out a system. I would just tell, like, for example, here at the shul, we have a small little night seder right after Mincha Ma'ariv, the late Mincha Ma'ariv. So now, for example, Mincha's, what time is Mincha? 8:25, right? And there's a little night seder right afterwards, just from 8:55, Ma'am Shar after Ma'ariv, to 9:15. In 20 minutes, you can chazur over the daf. Just highlighting, even less than 20 minutes, you can chazur over the daf. Just highlighting over. And if you do a little bit of chazara every single day, even if you're not up to date in terms of chazaring that day's daf, even if you end up being a full for a couple of days behind, it's just amazing what it does for retention and what it does for appreciation. Because the more you remember the mesechta that you're living in, the more you feel connected to it. So just a side point. Good, so we'll say let's go weiter. Today's daf is Gimel. We are picking up Beis and with Beis 2b, three lines up from the bottom. Hakol chayavim b'tkeshra. So remember, again, this is actually very... Oh, thank you. So what's our shiurim this week? Sorry. I need like a monitor or something opposite that. So, I'm sorry?
Cue cards.
Yes. So, you can. So we have, Baruch Hashem, a number of sponsorships. We have a weekly sponsor of Adam and Amy Grossman, dedicating the week of Daf Yomi. We thank the Grossman Mishpacha very much for their dedication. To thank Hilly and Ellie Kagan for dedicating the shiur this week in honor of the Magide Shiur Meshi Abramson, who makes it possible to learn the daf remotely. Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Sivan, David and Roberta Schwartz, in honor of all of the members of the shul for their incredible warmth. Thank you to all of our sponsorships. So of our sponsors. So we'll say with that, we're continuing on the exciting adventure of the Hakol. The reason I say exciting is because literally we're going through Shas. Mamish, we're going. I know people got an Erchen. What's Erchen going to be about? Look at this. It's Mamish like you just got on the Talmud roller coaster over here. We're literally going everywhere throughout Shas with this Hakol, and it gets better. Hakol Chayav Mitkiyah Shofar. So it ends over on the bottom. Everyone is obligated in Tkiyah Shofar. So remember again, the theme over here is since our Mishnah began with Hakol Ma'arichin Ne'erachin, bless you, no Jim Vini Darin. So we tried to figure out what does Hakol include in our Mishnah. We're now essentially going through pretty much all of the examples of Hakol throughout Shas, and trying to figure out what they include as well. So Hakol Chayav Mitkiyah Shofar. So we'll say everyone is obligated to Tkiyah Shofar. Lasui Emai. Well, who does that come to include? Lasui Katan Shegiel Lechinuch. It comes to include a Katan who has reached the age of Chinuch. That's such a Katan, which we'll say, again, whatever age that is, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, this not, in Ma'akvin as Hakatan Melitkoa Biyamtiv. Because we'll say the halacha is, interestingly enough, we do not prevent the katan from blowing the shofar on Yom Tov. In other words, there's a concept, ultimately, that once you fulfill the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, so one doesn't simply blow the shofar for no reason. But a katan who has reached the age of chinuch, who is obligated in the mitzvah, we don't stop them from blowing the shofar. Good. Hakol chav mikra megillah. We'll say, very interesting sugya. Everyone is obligated to read the megillah. Hakol Sharon likros es ha-megillah. Everyone is kosher to read the megillah. La suye mayer. So who does this come to include? Top of Gimel, the Gemara says, la suye nashim, to include women, uchid Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Dar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, nashim chayavos ba-mikra megillah. Women are obligated in the mikra megillah, sha'af hein hayu ba-osahanes, because they were also included in the miracle of Purim. Now, I will say, here we come to a profound machlokes Rashi Tosus. Let's take a look at the top Rashi, Lasuye Nashim. This is incredible. Shechayelos b'mikra Megillah. So Rashi says again, women are chay b'mikra Megillah. Uksheros likrosa ulahotzi schar miyedechavasam. And Rashi literally says that a woman's obligation of mikra Megillah is the same as a man. And therefore, again, technically speaking, she could be motzi a man in mikra Megillah. That's what I call it. Kolcha mikra Megillah, afilu Nashim. Tosfos, if you look at Tosfos on the left side, Lasuye Nashim, so I'll say, so Tosfos has a whole chakira about this. Just if you skip down to the last three lines of Tosfos, Valochos Gidolos Hosivu, Eloshechayevin Bishmiya. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, Valochos Gidolos says that no, when we say women are chayavos in Mikra Megillah, it is actually not a chiyuv in kriya, but it's a chiyuv in shmiya. They're obligated to hear the Megillah, not obligated to read the Megillah, which means it's a different kind of chiyuv. Lefisha kol hayu b'safek lahashmit laharok la'abed. So we'll say, so this happens to be, we actually saw this machlokes back in Meseches Megillah. So everyone will agree that nashim chayavos b'mikra Megillah. That's a statement. Everyone agrees women are mechuyavos in Megillah. The machlokes Rashi Tosus is what is the nature of that chiyuv. Rashi says, mamish a chiyuv to read the Megillah like everyone else. The halachas kidolos, no, an obligation to hear the Megillah. The nafka mina, could a woman be motzi a man in mikra Megillah or not? According to Rashi, the answer is absolutely yes. According to the halachos kidolos, the answer will be no, because a woman has a chiyuv of shmiya, whereas a man has a chiyuv of kriya. Just something interesting to note. Good. We also have another incredible case. Hakol chayav in bezimun. Everyone is obligated in a mezumin. In other words, when we say obligated in a mezumin, if you have three men, you're chayav in mezumin. So the Gemara says la suye mai. So we'll say, but 1 second. Again, as we've already come to see, hakol always comes to include something additional than that which is stated. So la hakol la suye mai la suye noshim va'avodin. It comes to include women and avodim. This sign of us is actually an interesting halacha. Noshim mizamnos liatzman. Women could make their own zimun. They can make their own zimun. Va'avodim mizamnin liatzman. And similarly again, avodim can make their own zimun as well. They're both saying, remember again, why the distinction in these groupings? Look at Rashi. Mizamnos liatzman. Shalosh noshim v'chein shlosha avodim. So if you have three women, or three avadim. These, of course, are avadim kinanim, right? Not to an avid ivri is a Jew. Is not nothing to talk about. It's avadim kinanim. Aval in shtei nashim o shtei avadim mitzarfim im anoshim. So I'll say ultimately again. Here's what's interesting. So the Gemara is telling me three women can make a zimun, three men can make a zimun, three avadim can make a zimun, two men and one woman, or any other variation of that, cannot be mitzarif for a zimun. Why? Because no one of these three groups, men, women, avadim, have the same relationship to the brachos of Birkas HaMazon. Because says Rashi, it's actually amazing. Lefishi yesh ba'anoshim ma'she'in b'noshim u'ba'avadim, she'in ha'noshim omros bris, ve'in avadim omrim al nachaloseinu. Because for example, Birkas HaMazon makes reference to bris milah. That doesn't apply to women. Right, but yet it does apply to avodim. Birkas also makes reference to the nachala, to inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. That applies to men, applies to women, doesn't apply to avodim. So ultimately, again, it's only men for whom every part of Birkas HaMazon thematically applies. For women, some doesn't apply. For avodim, some doesn't apply. Therefore, each of these groups have the ability to independently make their own zimun. Three women can make a mezumin. Three avodim can make a mezumin. Three men can make a mezumin. But none of these groups could go ahead and interact with each other. I will say, just as an aside, this happens to be a fascinating sugya about women's zimun. So I'll just say, again, I'm not going to get to do it justice today, but I'll just say like this. Shulchan Aruch, this is in Aruch Chaim. Simon Kuf Tzadik Tes Sif Vav writes as follows. Shulchan Aruch Paskins this way. Noshim v'avodim uktanim in mezam naleim. So women, kitanim, right, children, and avodim cannot be mitzarif to a zimun with men. Aval mezamnin liatzman. Now that doesn't really apply to ketanim, right? But they can make their own zimun. So women can make their own zimun. Fine. So the Shulchan Aruch goes on with this. The Mishnah Berurah points out an important distinction. He says, mizamnin liatzman reshus. There is a fundamental difference between women's zimun and men's zimun, which is if three men eat together, there is an obligation to create a zimun. If three women eat together, there is no obligation to create a zimun. It's what's called a reshus. So the Aruch, meaning they can do it if they want to, but there's not a halachic imperative as it applies to men. The Aruch HaShulchan, and I'm sorry, we're just going through all of this, very interesting. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, he has an extensive piece, we're not going to get to it now, but I'll just give you the Maram Makom. This is Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Tzadik Tes Sif Beis. has a very interesting discussion of this as to why this is contemporarily not done so much. Even though it seems to be a pretty straightforward halacha that if three women are eating together, they have the right to make a mizuman, Aruch HaShulchan writes why presently you don't see this being done. Ayin Sham. Good, says the Gemara. Hakol mitzarif lezimun lasuyema. I suppose there's another statement of everyone is mitzarif. Everyone joins together in a zimun. Who does this come to include? Lasuy katan hayodei lemimi mivarchin. This includes a katan who knows who he's benching to, who he's making the bracha to. So I'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara seems to be suggesting over here is that almost like a katan who understands the concept of birkas hamazon and knows who he is reciting Birkas HaMazon towards, you could include him in a Zimun. Then Rav Nachman, Katan Hayodei Mi Mevarchin, Mizamnin Alav. Good. Hakol Tamei Beziva. Everyone becomes Tamei through Zav. Lasuye Mai. Lasuye Tinok Ben Yomo. Comes to include even a baby. That technically speaking, a baby could become Tamei through Tumas Zivos. The Sanya, because we learned Matam Alomar Ish. Why does the Pasuk say Ish, double Ish? By Zav, Rabos Tinok Ben Yom Echad Shemetame Beziva Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. To teach you that even a baby who is one day old is capable of contracting Tumas Zav. Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osho, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Baruch Omer, Eino Tzarech. You don't need this. I'll tell you why. Hariyu Omer Vahazav Es Zovo La Zochar Ulanekeva. The Pasuk says the Zav Es Zovo. Right, the Zav who has his Zav emission. For a man or for a woman, a zachar nekeva, lezachar kol shehu, zachar bein katan bein gadol, lenekeva kol shehi, nekeva bein ktana bein gidola. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, says the fact that it says zachar and nekeva by zav, zachar nekeva includes what? All men and all women, ketanim, gidolim. Therefore, he agrees in principle, not in principle, he agrees with the concept that halacha lemaisa, even a child who is one day old, has the ability to become a zav, just learns that from a different place. Imkain, ma tamalomar ish. If that's the case, according to Rabbi Shmuel, why does the pasuk say ish? Dibra Torah kelashon b'nei adam. Ultimately, again, the Torah is just speaking in the vernacular, right? The Torah is just speaking ultimately how people speak. So you find this explanation in a number of different places where ultimately, again, the double lashon is just reflective of how people spoke. Hakol mitamin bitamimis. So I'll say everyone has the ability to become tamei with tumas mis. Lasuye mai. What does this come to include? Lasuye katan. But this comes to teach you that even a katan is capable of contracting tumas mis. Sagadait chamina. Ish asher yitma velo yischata. Because we'll say the pasuk says, if a person, the pasuk, just to understand the context over here, this is talking about a person who became tamei, velo yischata means, and he did not go through a purification process, and then walks into the Beis HaMikdash. Such a person is chayiv karis. So the Gemara says, ish in katan lo, I might have thought that it's only an ish, a man, an adult, who has the ability to contract tuma, but not a katan. Kamashmalano va'al hanefashos asher hayusham. So I'll say, so the fact that the pasuk says nefashos in the context of tumas meis tells me anyone who is a nefesh ultimately can contract tumas meis. Therefore, even a katan who is a nefesh might not be an ish, but is a nefesh ultimately has the ability to contract tumas meis. Ela ish lemiute mai. So if that's the case, what does ish come to exclude? Lemeute katan mikares. Oh, but it's a very simple idea, which is that halacha lemaisa, a katan has the ability to contract tumas meis, but if a katan contracts tumas meis and then what? Walks into the Beis HaMikdash, he is not chayiv karis. It is only an ish, only an adult, who if you become tamei and then walk into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of tumah, ultimately again experiences karis. Next, hakom tamei b'negayim, we'll say everyone can become tamei with tzara'as. Lasuye mai. What does this come to include, or who does this come to include? Lasuye katan. Comes to include a katan. There will say a katan could become tamei with tumas tzara'as. Now, why would I think otherwise? Saga da'it chamina, ish tsarua ksiv. The pasuk says, an ish who contracts tsaras. So I would have thought, ish in katan lo. We'll say, in general, again, ish translates as how? adult male. Adult male. So I might, or maybe at least, even if you want to be a bit more expansive, adult. Adult. So I might have thought it's only an ish, only an adult who contracts tzaras, not a child. Kamash malon, that's not the case. Ve'ema hachinami, I had, you know, maybe that is the case. Maybe ish does mean that only an adult is capable of contracting tzaras, to which the Gemara says, Adam kiyeh ba'ar b'sara mikom makom. Because most of the Torah used lashon of Adam. Adam is an all-encompassing lashon over here. So the fact that it says Adam teaches me that even a katan is capable of contracting tzaras. Ve'ele ish lamli. So we'll say, so now we have a problem. If that's the case, that Adam teaches me that what? If Adam teaches me that halacha lemaisa, that halacha lemaisa, a katan is capable of contracting tzaras, then why do I need ish? L'chidisanya, here we go. Ish eini ela ish, isha minayin. So ish teaches me that a man has the ability to contract tzaras. How do I know that a woman has the ability to contract tzaras as well? Kishu omer v'hatsarua harekan shnayim. Because also when the pasuk says hatsarua, so hatsarua adds in another category of person. That tells me that there are two types of people, i.e. men and women. If that's the case, imkeid ma tamulomar ish. So again, I will say, if I have tzarua, then why do I need ish? To which the Gemara says, le'inyan shalmata, to teach me another important halacha when it comes to tzaras, which is, I will say, first wide line, gimel amad aleph. Ish porea uporeim, ve'in ha'isha poreas uporeim. So I will say, the halacha by mitzora is an interesting halacha, which is, a mitzora tears his clothing and allows his hair to grow long. That halacha of tearing clothing and unkempt hair only applies to men and not to women. Right? Where do we know that from? From the fact that the Torah uses the lashon of ish, ultimately, again, even though ish is stated in the context of contracting tzaras, since I don't need that ish by contracting tzaras, because I know that men and women are both subject to tzaras, the ish comes to teach me that halacha lemaisa, only a man tears his clothing and allows his hair to grow long, a woman does not. Okay, incredible. Hakol ronas hanegoyim. Next. Everyone has the ability to see, to examine negoyim, tzaras. So the Gemara says, Hakol ksherin liros es hanegoyim. Similarly, again, everyone is kosher to look at negoyim. So ultimately, again, la suye mai. Who does this come to include? La suye she'eno baki b'hano b'shmo seyen. Comes to include a kohen. I will say now, understand, we know that only a kohen is permitted to paskin on tzaras. One of the unique novelties of tzaras, right? You could be the greatest Talmid Chacham in the world. If you're not a kohen, you do not get to examine tzaras. So we'll say, so ultimately again, when you say hakol, who does hakol come to include? It comes to include even a kohen, she'eno baki, bahenu b'shmo seyen. Even a kohen who's not so proficient in the halachos of tzaras or the names of the various lesions. Is that true? V'ha'amar mar, eino baki b'anam b'shmo sein, in ro'as hanagoyim. But yet, Rav Osei, we learned that if a kohen is not a baki, if he's not proficient in the laws of tzaras, he should not be a tzaras posek. So Rav Osei, so which one is it? Amar avino lo kasha. It depends on the kohen. Chod misabrile v'savar. Had misabri levelo savar. I will say everything depends. Halacha lemaisa, if the kohen has the capacity that if you explain to him what the halacha is, he chaps it, then he could paskin. If you explain it and he doesn't chap it, he can't paskin. So it says, we know this is Mefurash Mishkan Mesachas Negoyim, that even a kohen ha'aretz ma'amidin lo tamud chacham. Right? So again, it also says, so you could have a tamud chacham whispering in the ear of the kohen, right? That's this, and the halacha is its tame. As long as the kohen chaps what the person is telling him, understands it, then ultimately he's fit to paskin on negoyim. If mamashi just doesn't possess those mental faculties, and so even when somebody explains it to him, he could repeat the information, he could parrot the information, but he doesn't understand it, then we would not have such a kohen paskin on negoyim. Beautiful. Hakol ksher in the kaddish. So we'll say ultimately again, Everyone is permitted lekadesh. Now, what does lekadesh over in this context mean? Take a look at Rashi. Lekadesh la'ariv ma'im chayim be'efer chatos. So we'll say lekadesh refers to the process of mixing the spring water together with the ashes of the para aduma. Everyone is kosher to go ahead and do this process. I last week in my Bible say, who does this come to include? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, my Rabbi Huda last week katan. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda says it comes to include a katan, that even a katan is permitted to mix together the ashes of the paradum with the spring water, and the Rabbanan say it comes to include a woman, that she is permitted to engage in this process. This now, because we're under the Mishnah, Hakol Ksher and Lakadish, everyone is permitted to go ahead and mix the ashes of the paradum with the spring water, Chutz, Mecheresh, Shote, the katan, with the exception of a Cheresh, a Shote, and a katan, Rabbi Huda. So we'll say, so the Rabbanon hold that ultimately, again, everyone is kosher except for a cherishot of a cotton. So according to the Rabbanon, a woman is also permitted to mix together the ashes and the spring water. Rabbi Huda says a cotton is permitted to do so, but ultimately, again, uposal beisha uba androgynous. He says a cotton could do it, but a woman or a suffolk woman, which is an androgynous, cannot do it. Beautiful. Hakol ksher lahazos lasuyemai. We'll say everyone is fit, everyone is kosher to sprinkle the waters of the para aduma. It's an interesting case. Shabbos, who does this come to include? So the Gemara says lasuyemai. Rashi says not yet. Rashi says over here. So the Gemara says lasuyemai lasuye orel to include someone who is uncircumcised. They both say, now why would someone be, now what kind of RL? If you look at Rashi, Shemeso Echav Machmas Mila. Once we're talking about over here, a situation where, right, the brothers died because of Bris Mila. What we contemporarily know to be hemophilia. Right, ultimately, again, so the halacha says, if a person loses two prior siblings, ultimately, again, as a result of Bris Mila, the halacha is that we are exempt from Bris. Now, the interesting discussion, which Rabbi has multiple ramifications, is what's the status of that person? Is that person called an Orel or not? Because on one hand, they're uncircumcised. On the other hand, they have a license to be uncircumcised, right? In other words, not just a license, but the halacha tells us not to give such a person a bris mila. So it's an interesting discussion about the status of that person. Here the Gemara is suggesting that when we see a kol ksher lahazos to sprinkle, and it comes to include even an Orel. Ukeda amrabalazar, Orel shehiza has also kshera. If you have an Orel who ultimately did the sprinkling of the ashes, meaning an Orel who's a Kohen, who did the sprinkling of the ashes of the paraduma, tazo is kosher. Beautiful. Bosei, listen to this. Hakol shochtin. Sounds familiar, right? All right. Opening Mishnah Maseches Chulin. Hakol shochtin. Actually, we saw it twice in Chulin. Hakol shochtin lasuye mai. Always exciting, like when you see something that you remember. Hakol shochtin. Everyone is permitted to shecht. What does that come to include? So we'll say, now remember again, what the must point out over here is you have two mishnayos of hakol shochtin. Two mishnayos. So what do both of them come to include? So chad ala asuye kusi, v'chad ala asuye yisrael mumer. Right? Ultimately, again, one comes to include a kusi, right? That a kusi is permitted to do shechita, and one is the yisrael mumer. So we'll say, remember again, we spoke about these cases extensively about what you need. You need yisrael omed al gabov, right? You need a mashkiach there to oversee the, whatever the details are. But the point over here is that the shechita of a kusi could be good, and the shechita of a yisrael mumer could be good as well. But it isn't in these cases. Hakol ma'alin li eretz yisrael. Then I will say, this is a fascinating case. Everyone could call, well, let me translate it like this. Everyone could require aliyah to eretz yisrael. I'll define that better in just a moment. So the Gemara says, who does that come to include? Amud Beis, la'asuye avadim. It comes to include, ultimately, again, avodin. Now, both say, now from the case, you'll understand the statement. Look at Rashi. Top Rashi, Gimel Amud Beis. She'im yeshlo eved kenani mo. Both say, if I possess a circumcised eved kenani. So remember, again, I purchase an eved kenani. Once I do that, there is tevila and mila l'shem avdus. He's immersed in the mikvah, and he goes ahead and gets a bris milah for the sake of avdus. When he becomes an Eved Kenani, he becomes kind of like quasi-Jewish, even though we don't normally subscribe to a concept of half-Jewish or whatever, either you're in or you're out. An Eved Kenani is that exception. He is quasi-Jewish. His full gerus is only affected when? Upon emancipation. So watch this. This is an incredible case. Tap Rashi Gimel Amud Beis. Shim Yesh Lo Eved Kenani Mo. If I have a circumcised Eved Kenani, so Limkar, and I want to sell him. Berotza Eved Shlo Yim Kerena Eliberes Yisrael. Listen to this, right? You know, right? My Eved Kenani, he flipped out during Abdus. Right now, he's so stark. Right? He became an Eved Kenani, and now what? It's fine. You want to sell me? You want to sell me? I'm only going to be sold in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Only going to be sold in Eretz Yisrael. We'll say, what's that locha? Kofen esrabo laha'aloso. We force the master, if you want to sell him, and he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, you got to sell him in Eretz Yisrael. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara says, Ulamad Tony Avadin Behejia. La suyemai. So we'll say in general, what this halacha means is as follows. That hakomal in the Eretz Yisrael means that any one person ultimately could go ahead and cause the mishpacha to have to go to Eretz Yisrael. That if one of the members, and we're going to define this in just a little bit, ultimately wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, it obligates the rest of the mishpacha to make aliyah. Now we're going to see the context of that in just a little bit. But for now, the Gemara is saying it comes to include the novel case of an Eved. I have an Eved Kenani who I plan on selling. Meaning, if I'm not selling him, if I'm not selling him and he's a piece of my property, he can't force me to do anything. But if I'm already going to sell him, he has the right to say, I only want to be sold in Eretz Yisrael. And if he says that, I have an obligation to honor that wish. But also, according to the Mandarim, who says that Avadim is taught explicitly, what does it come to include? Listen to this. It includes, I will say, even what? That halacha lemaisa. Aloha lemaisa, if I want to move, right? If the man of the house wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, wants to make aliyah, ultimately, again, even if his wife does not want to, she has an obligation to listen to him. Then I will say, good luck with this one, right? And if you use it, do not quote it in my name, right? Ultimately, again, you could quote the Gemara Gimel Amud Beis. I will say, but technically speaking, there is a halacha on the books in Maseches Ksuvos that if the man of the house wants to make aliyah, even if the wife does not want to, she is obligated to go ahead and follow him to Eretz Yisrael. That's the halacha. I will say, the novelty of the halacha is la'asum inava hayofa l'navara, even if they live in a beautiful house in Chutz La'aretz. And what's waiting for them in Eretz Yisrael is? So you can't say it's Eretz Yisrael. Aesthetically challenged, right? It's aesthetically challenged. It's not as nice. Nevertheless, the man of the house could go ahead and then essentially compel the mishpacha to make aliyah with him. Vein ha'kol motzi'in. And I want to say similarly again, no one could force someone to leave Eretz Yisrael. La suye eved shebarach michutz laaretz laaretz. So we'll say that comes to include that even if my eved ran away from chutz laaretz to Eretz Yisrael, I cannot force him to leave Eretz Yisrael. Incredible. Next, hakol ma'alin Yerushalayim. So we'll say there are two kind of like concurrent halachas over here. One is hakol ma'alin Eretz Yisrael, which means that if the man of the house wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, he could compel the rest of the family to make aliyah. Once in Eretz Yisrael, if the man of the house decides that we're moving to Yerushalayim, no one, right, he could compel the rest of the family to move to Yerushalayim. Okay? Says the Gemara, Lasuye, where does that come to include? Minova hayofa lenova hara. Even if they live in a beautiful house in Tel Aviv, and he wants to say, no, we're moving to a small apartment in Yerushalayim, so the rest of the members of the household have to listen. And no one could take you out of Yerushalayim. That even if, again, I'm living in a very small apartment in Yerushalayim, and ultimately, again, there's a much more beautiful house waiting for me in Tel Aviv, then halacha lemaisa, the members of my household cannot force me to, I cannot force anyone to leave, and no one could force me to leave as well. Incredible. I will say, these halachos of Eretz Yisrael are really quite fascinating. We saw this extensively in Maseches Ksuvos, but really fascinating, also speaks volumes to the incredible and beautiful relationship that the Jew has with Eretz Yisrael. Where else do you see such a concept like this? I was going to say, to say that a man says, we're going to Eretz Yisrael, so only everybody has to listen, the Shalom Bayis problems that causes, the other familial problems that causes. But yet, again, you see something dramatically amazing about the relationship of the Jew with Eretz Yisrael. Okay? For a different time. Hakol Chayavim B'Sukkah. Now, we'll say, now we're transitioning a little bit. So now we've gone through essentially every single Hakol in Shas. Now we're transitioning to a different category of Hakols, which also include the statement of Hakol Chayavim, blank, 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 Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim. We're going to go through a whole series of these cases. It's really incredible. Hakol Chayavim B'Sukkah, Kohanim Leviim Yisraelim. Everybody's obligated in Sukkah, Kohanim Leviim and Yisraelim. Pshita. Okay. The Gemara says, Ihani lo mechayiv, man mechayivi. We'll say, if Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim would not be chayiv in Sukkah, it's going to be a pretty sparsely observed mitzvah. Hey, so, so what's the chiddush? Watch this. Kohanim mitzrichalei. The truth is, I needed to state it vis-a-vis Kohanim. Why? Sagadayn chamina. Because I would have thought as follows. The boss says, this is fascinating. The pasuk says, Basukos Teshvu. This is probably one of the most important phrases in Sukkah. In Hilchos Sukkah. Basukos Teshvu, it means you have to dwell in your Sukkah. How do you have to dwell in your Sukkah? Va'amar mar, Teshvu Shivas Yomim Ke'im Taduru. You have to live in your Sukkah for 7 days, the way you would dwell in your house. Madira Ish V'ishto. Just like in your home, you live with your wife. Af sukkah ish v'ishto. So too in the sukkah, ultimately, again, you have to live with your wife. Vahani kohanim hoil ubnei avodanin. Rabbos, listen to this. Since kohanim, over the course of the regel, are performing avoda, look at Rashi, bnei avodanin hu ve'in yucholin ladur ish v'ishto b'sukkah, shein niskakin l'nisho sehem, dirami alaybas. Rabbos, and obviously, living with your wife is a euphemism for relations. Interesting, if Rashi points out over here, the Gemara points out, that Kohanim really wouldn't be with their wives over the course of Yom Tiv all that much. Why? Because they were on call for the Avoda. Now remember, I want to be clear. Even if a Kohen ultimately is on call for Avoda, so remember again, if he's with his wife, there's Tumas Keri, but ultimately, again, even that is a very, 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 you know, low level of Tumah that can be remedied very easily. Rashi just seems to be pointing out over here, it wasn't common. Since, again, over the course of the Regel, there was such an intensity of Avodah, very often Kohanim would not live with their wives in the regular way. Therefore, again, I would have thought about, say, watch this. The mitzvah of Sukkah is Teshu Kein Toduru. So it's to live in the Sukkah like you live throughout the year. So therefore, again, ultimately, again, a man is in the Sukkah with his wife, Kohanim, who are not normally with their wives so much over the course of the Yom Tiv. I would have thought as Pata from Sukkah, Kamash Malon, Nehi Diptiri B'Shas Avoda, Shelo B'Shas Avoda Chiyuvi Mechayvi. Even though a Kohen may be Pata ultimately, again, during the times of Avoda, when it's not the time of Avoda, ultimately, again, he is chayiv in Sukkah. Midi dehavi ahochei drachim. He's no different than a traveler. What's the halacha of a traveler? The Amar Mar, hochei drachim bayom, peturim in Sukkah. We'll say people who travel by day are pater from Sukkah. V'chayavim balayla. So we'll say, so just like if a person's traveling and they have a reason that takes them out of the Sukkah, they are pater from Sukkah. But when they're not traveling, they're chayiv in Sukkah. So a Kohen, when he's doing the Avodah, he's pater from Sukkah. But when he's not doing the Avodah, ultimately, again, will be chayiv in Sukkah. Therefore, the Hakol comes to include Kohanim, because I would have thought, this is interesting, there's a Havamina, that Kohanim would be pater from Sukkah. But I'll say, this halacha is also one of our different reasons. You know, it's interesting to note that it's Mufursha halacha that you're supposed to sleep in the Sukkah. For Shalach, Teshu Kein Taduru. Yet it is fascinating to see that contemporarily, many people, especially in Chutz La'aretz, are very makel on this and do not sleep in the sukkah, even though it's mefor shalacha. So what happens? So the Aruch HaShulchan actually discusses, and he gives two reasons. He says because historically in Chutz La'aretz, especially in Europe, he says sukkahs was very often already like winter season, and as such there was a din of mitzta'er. That meaning it's only Eretz Yisrael that is guaranteed to be warm in Baltimore, right? It's guaranteed to be warm, right, during Sukkot. So therefore, again, in Chutz La'aretz, very often it was wintertime already. And therefore, Alachalais, people didn't sleep. The other reason, and therefore, again, people didn't sleep in the Sukkot. The other reason he also gives is because this idea, there's a concept, ultimately, by Sukkah, of Teshvu Kein Taduru. And just like in your house, you sleep together with your wife, so in the sukkah, there's also to have the ability to sleep together with your wife. He says, so because very often either we don't have sukkahs that accommodate that, or a wife might not feel uncomfortable doing that, therefore halacha l'maisa, kind of over time it developed a kula to sleep inside of the home. Just an interesting application of this concept. Okay, the Gemara goes right there. Hakol chayavim betzitzis, kohanim levim yisraelim. Everyone is obligated in tzitzis. Kohanim levim yisraelim. So pshita, okay, I got it. So obviously everybody, kohanim yisraelim, Gemara says, no, kohanim yisrichlei. Kohanim get a lot of attention today. I need this for kohanim. Why? Well, this is incredible. Sadeit chamina, I would have thought, holuksiv, lo sabashat, nizgidilim tasalacho. But also, remember again, there's just juxtaposition between the mitzvah of tzitzis and shatnis. Now, the nature of that juxtaposition is to teach you that what? Tzitzis could be shatnis. Right, you could make tzitzis, so you could, for example, you could have a woolen beged and linen tzitzis. We don't do this today anymore, but technically speaking, you can do that. So the juxtaposition, the Gemara says, I might have thought like this. Holuk sivlo silba shatnis gedilim tasalacha, mandalo ishtiri kelayim legabe belevisha, hud mechaibet misa tzitzis. I might have thought like this. The juxtaposition teaches me the following. Whoever is subject to the prohibition of shatnis has to wear tzitzis. V'hani kohanim hol v'ishtri klein legabayu lo lechaibu. Rabbi said kohanim, right? Kohanim are permitted to wear shatnez in their big dekuna. So because kohanim are permitted to wear shatnez, maybe they shouldn't be chayiv in tzitzis. Kamashmola nehid v'ishtari be'idon avoda below idon avoda lo ishtri. Tirush Simar says that is true. Kohanim are permitted to wear shatnez when? During the avoda, when they're wearing their Kohanic vestments. But Kohanim are not permitted to wear shatnez when it's not the Shas Avodah. And because of that, they will be chayav in tzitzis as well. Incredible. Hakol chayavim betzilin. We'll say another beautiful case. Everyone is obligated in tefillin. Kohanim levim yisraelim. So the Gemara again says, pshita. Okay, I got it. Everybody's chayav in tefillin. Baruch atu Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Shakol nieh b'dvaro. So says the Gemara, no. Kohanim mitzrichlei. I need a statement to teach that Kohanim are obligated in tefillin. Why? Sagdai tchamina, I would have thought, holuksiv, listen to this, holuksiv, ukshartam lios al yodecha, since the pasuk says, ukshartam lios al yodecha, that you will go ahead and tie them as a sign on your hand. Vayulotatavos b'neinecha, okay, and it'll be a sign on your, right? Tefillin sheya, tefillin shalosh. Called the isei b'mitzah diyad, isei b'mitzah derosh. They will say, I would have thought that the pasuk links the two to tell you that they are part of one cohesive mitzvah. And therefore, whoever is obligated in shel yad is obligated in shel rosh. Therefore, v'hani kohanim hoil v'lesnu b'mitzvah yad, the Bible says kohanim do not have a mitzvah of the shel yad. This is wild. What does it mean, kohanim do not have a mitzvah of the shel yad? Yichsev yilbash al bisaro. Shelo yehei davar chotzeitz beino ubein bisaro. We'll say that halacha is that when a kohen is doing the avoda, is during big day kahuna, there could be nothing that interposes between the garment and his flesh. As such, a kohen was not permitted to wear his shel yad, his tefillin, during the avoda, because the shel yad would then interrupt between his flesh, between his skin, and the big day kahuna. So I might have thought that since he can't wear the shel yad, b'mitzvah derosh nami lo lechaibu, he shouldn't be chayav in the tefillin shel rosh as well. Therefore, we'll say the halacha is that no, they are not ma'akev one on the other. They're not ma'akev. They are two independent mitzvahs. So we'll say that's how we pass an halacha l'maisa. That's why, for some reason, you only have a shal yad or a shal rosh, for whatever the reason, you would put on the one that you have, even though you don't have the other. So the novelty of Rabbi says that even though, again, when the kohen is doing the avodah, he can't wear the shal yad because it interposes, he could still potentially wear the shal rosh. Kedis nan, tefillah shal yad inam ma'akeves shal rosh, the shal rosh inam ma'akeves shal yad. We'll say that is halacha l'maisa. Umashna diyad d'chsev yilbasha b'saro. Rosh nami k'sev is sometimes it's nefes al rosh. One second, why are you only making it sound like it's a tefillah shal yad that causes a problem to the kohen? The shal rosh also causes a problem. Why? Because the kohen has to wear the mitznefes, right? He has to wear the hat on his head. There's a hat that's part of the uniform, the attire, the outfit, good. Right, so we'll say, so ultimately, again, it's not just the shell, yeah, that's problematic. The shell is always problematic. Listen to this. The Gemara says, Tano, Saro Hayanira Ben Sitzel Misnefes, Shesham Maniach Tvilin. Both is actually incredible. No, actually, the way the Beit HaKohuna were created was in a way that there was actually a space in the area where you would put the shel rosh, that there was the ability, this is talking about by the Kohen Gadol, there was a space ultimately between the mitznefes and the tzitz. The tzitz was the golden plate. The mitznefes ultimately, again, was the hat. And there was a space in between that for the Kohen to put on the shel rosh. So amazingly enough, the shel rosh did not pose a chatzitza problem, only the shel yad. Therefore, the novelty of the ruling is everyone is chayv in tefillin, even Kohanim, and the Chiddush being that even if a Kohen could only wear his shel rosh during the Avodah, not the shel yad, he would still wear the shel rosh. Which Rabbi Yosef also tells you something. And then for us, what that tells us is two incredible things. First of all, the incredible halacha that it sounds like Kohanim wore tefillin during Avodah, which is quite fascinating. At least they wore a shel rosh, not a shel yad. But for our purposes, also it tells us that halacha lemaisa, shel yad and shel rosh, two separate mitzvos. And therefore, even if you can only fulfill one and not the other, you do the one you can. Everybody is obligated in Tkiah Shofar. Pshita, that's obvious. Kohanim Strichale. I need the Kohanim. Why? Meaning I need the novelty of the earth by the Kohanim. Because I would have thought, since the Pasuk says it should be a Yom Trua, man delese ele b'tkiah dechad yom achayiv, I would have thought what? Who's chayiv in Tkiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah? Someone for whom the blowing of the shofar is unique and novel. In other words, that it only takes place on this one day. Vahani kohanim, hov isnu b'tkiah kule shasa. Kohanim, they have Tkiah Shofar the whole year. Dechsev utekatim bechatzosros al oloseichem. The pasuk says you shall blow the chatzosros every single time you bring in ola. Se'ima alo lechayivu. So I would have thought again, since kohanim, quote unquote, have Tkiah Shofar every single day, therefore, they're not obligated on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, again, Kamashulan, the halacha tells you that no, they're obligated in shofar. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Me dummy, why would you compare those two? Hasim chatzosros, hacha shofar. But say, how can you even compare the cases? After all, again, by Rosh Hashanah, it's a shofar, but by the olos, ultimately, again, it's chatzosros. So I will say, we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to leave you on that cliffhanger of a question, Emir Hashem, to be answered and continued, B'Sha'atova, tomorrow.